This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So our concept of being individuals is an illusion?
It's a very deep question. Some would argue that in some fashion it's an illusion, in another way it's a reality. It's paradoxical, really, because when looking at something like quantum physics, for example, which has been around for about 100 years, there is this notion of entanglement where, to just briefly summarize it, if you have two particles that are physically separated from each other, when you affect one, the other one that's far away is affected instantaneously. So Albert Einstein didn't like this notion because he always thought the speed of light was the fastest that things could travel, and yet there was something that was instantaneous between distant particles. And later he acknowledged that this was a reality, and more science is coming out to suggest that that's true. So that does point to the notion of something interconnected that is beyond our typical perception. And I do agree with you where you're heading, that if we understood this interconnectivity, it would change lots of behavior. And one of the phenomena along these lines that's really impacted my personal life, and I talk about this in episode 6 of Where Is My Mind podcast, it's called the life review phenomenon in near-death experiences. So a near-death experience is when a person has, let's say, cardiac arrest, they're very close to death, and then they're resuscitated. And they're in a state where their brain, according to mainstream science, should not be able to produce something complex, let alone memories during the time that they were clinically dead that are later verified. So people will say, well, my consciousness was hovering over my body, and I saw the surgery being done, and they explain the details, and the doctor will say that's impossible. And yet the memories are verified, meaning that they're not hallucinations. Now, one of the phenomena that often occurs in these near-death experience states is people relive their whole life in what appears to be a short amount of time, but they also relive the events through the eyes of the people that they impacted. So, for example, I interviewed Danyon Brinkley for my podcast. He has had multiple near-death experiences. Each time he had a life review that he's able to remember. And he recalls his combat days in Vietnam, where he had to relive the deaths of the people that he killed in combat through their eyes. And he also felt what it was like to be the children who no longer had fathers because he had killed the fathers in combat. So he directly felt this interconnectivity, which is what many other near-death experiencers describe. They come back in their body after being resuscitated, and they change their whole life because the priorities shift. They might change their job. They might get divorced. They end up caring much more about service.
What also this implies here is that if your body dies, you go on. So where do you go? Is that reincarnation or what?
It's a very important question. I do think there is evidence for reincarnation. And if we adopt this, the Castrop's analogy of whirlpools in the stream, it's almost like the recycling of a whirlpool. The individual becomes something else within the stream. There is significant evidence, in my view, from the University of Virginia. For decades, they've been studying cases of young children who have memories of what appear to be previous lives, over 2,500 cases. And in the strongest examples, the researchers are able to find historical records of what the child is describing. And to my mind, the strongest cases are the ones where the child has physical birthmarks or defects that align with the death in the previous life, where the researchers can find medical records of how the person died in the previous life, and it correlates with the physical body of the person who is now born.
Yeah, it makes you wonder why physical aspects would carry on to the next life. You know, I mean, if we're talking about something that is separate from the material world, why would somebody then be reborn with birthmarks, things like that, that may correspond to injuries suffered in a previous life?
It is quite mysterious. I mean, it suggests to me that there is information that's transferred. I don't know how that would manifest. Maybe it has to do with the DNA that from the previous life, that the consciousness of that life impacts the biology of this one somehow. I mean, the way that the researchers at the University of Virginia say it is that traditionally in the medical field, people think that just genetics and environment are the two factors that impact our physical form. And they say that based on the research they do, there must be a third factor, something that we don't understand that is able to impact people physically, but also mentally, where they might have fears or things that they really like that are also correlated to the previous life.
Ah, that's perfect, because that leads into my next question. My wife, who is somewhat of an agnostic when it comes to things like this, asked me one time, you know, if what's the point in reincarnation if the, you know, the idea is that, you know, each life you know, it's a lesson and you learn something and then you come back to learn more. And if that's the case, why do you come back with no previous memories if you've lost everything, you know, all that information that you learned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is an amnesia, clearly. If past lives are real, it seems that most of us don't have memory. And some argue that it occurs because if we had all the memories, we wouldn't be able to learn quite as much. That's a theory. But I also wonder if some of this stuff is literally beyond what our human brain can comprehend and compute. Sort of like the concept of infinity. We acknowledge that it's a mathematical reality, but we don't really understand how it works. This stuff with reincarnations might be so complex that it's beyond what we can comprehend.
Well, yeah, I mean, you consider that our brains basically evolved so we don't get eaten by that tiger hiding in the bush. And it really hasn't changed that much on the physical level since the time that we fell out of the trees. So I could see why some of these concepts that we are talking about, some of these things that we are aware of but can't quite put our finger on, may just be outside of our ability to consider them.
I want to mention one thing before we go into that response about reincarnation. Maybe we do know what happened the previous time, but it's on an unconscious level, and we act in different ways to our environment accordingly, but we're not consciously aware of what we're doing. Of course, I would still agree with your wife. Wouldn't it be nice to know what you did wrong so you can make it right? You were going to say, Mark?
No, that's a really good point, that the people, especially young children, they have attractions and aversions that relate to the previous life that they're speaking of. So it's not on a conscious level. Let's say when they're older in life, they might not remember the source of the fear or the thing that they like, and that might occur for many of us. We don't know where our preferences come from. So it's just a matter of what we can consciously access. And what I was thinking of saying is, and this relates to the UFO phenomenon too, the novella called Flatland is relevant here, where, as the analogy goes, people live in a two-dimensional world. That's us. We live like on a flat piece of paper. If you imagine that a three-dimensional sphere intersects with this two-dimensional world that we inhabit, the intersection is a circle. And the people like us in two-dimensional world, we can only see the circle. And we can analyze the circle as much as we want and understand everything about it, but we're missing the sphere because it's literally beyond our dimensional perception. And I think that aspect might be at play with all of this stuff, is that we're approaching it from one angle, and this is all multidimensional.
Then the question would be, is there a way for us to see this other dimension?
Well, people claim that in altered states of consciousness, they are able to perceive all sorts of things, whether it's through meditation, through various psychedelics, through a near-death experience, through even allegations of abductions by non-human intelligences. They talk about other dimensions and other worlds. It seems that there are ways to escape the so-called blindfold of our brain.
I was going to ask about near-death experiences, because there have been studies that say near-death experiences and UFO abductions have a lot of commonalities. And maybe in our next segment, we can talk about that. And by the way, listeners, if you search through our archives and our forums, there's a long article by a guy named Red Pill Junkie who covers the reasons why he thinks the near-death experience and the abduction are very much related. Mark, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Mark, you were about to say.
Okay, so we're talking about UFO experiences and near-death experiences. That research has been done One of the early studies was by Dr. Kenneth Ring, who was originally a near-death experience researcher, but kept hearing about these commonalities that people were describing. So he did a study where he looked at the near-death experience group and the people who had UFO encounters and found that there were many similarities, one of which was that people typically became much more spiritual afterwards, which is pretty interesting. In both cases, the near-death experience can be very traumatic because the person almost died, and some of the UFO encounters are not always positive. And yet people, if they're able to integrate the experiences properly, they can have positive spiritual changes. But he also talked about a bunch of other types of changes that are similar, such as like physical sensitivities, being sensitive to light, physiological changes such as blood pressure, nervous system, psychoenergetic functioning, so sleep patterns, overall energy. And then there were also changes in emotion and mental awareness and also paranormal functioning, where people tend to become much more psychic. I don't know what to make of this exactly, but the fact that we're dealing with some other dimension of consciousness, perhaps, in these types of experiences, they change the person in similar ways.
It's almost like they give them a software update.
That's what it seems like. It's like they get a glimpse into another aspect of reality, and then they come back forever changed.
If we don't go through that, we are basically implanted with a single version of the software at our birth, and that's what we follow through. So it's like system 3 million, and we still have system 3 million 75 years later, but with a near-death experience, we have system 5 million.
Well, what I have heard from especially near-death experiencers who've come back, they say you don't have to go through a near-death experience and all that trauma to learn the lessons. So I think we can study these phenomena and see the ways in which people change, and that takes effort. But it's possible to absorb the software update, so to speak, maybe in more subtle ways.
I've heard of people who have had just out of the blue enlightenment moments, you know, epiphanies, so to speak, where they'll just be, you know, sitting on their easy chair out in the backyard, just glimpse the blue sky that just sends their mind reeling, and oftentimes, just all too briefly, gives them an awareness of how things are working, but then just as quickly they lose it again, but then they're forever changed. And so, I mean, we're seeing a similar pattern, as has been discussed, with near-death experiences, abduction experiences, to just out-of-the-blue experiences.
Yeah, that's a great point. And in my second book, An End to Upside Down Living, where I talk about implications for setting an approach to living life based on these principles, I looked a lot at these awakening experiences people had. At the time, I wasn't looking at the UFO stuff as much, but this is more like people in meditation or with psychedelics, or like you say, spontaneous experiences. And this can happen through dreaming, through strong feelings of love or devotion, even reading a book. And there are people who have studied this, like, for example, Dr. Bonnie Greenwell. She wrote a book called When Spirit Leaps. There's a podcast series called Buddha at the Gas Pump, in which Rick Archer, the host, interviews people that have gone through awakening experiences from all walks of life. So it's difficult to put one's finger on all this because you don't know why someone's going to have an awakening experience all the time. It can happen unexpectedly, and yet the person is forever changed because they can't unsee it almost. It's like they experience something and they have to reconcile it.
How do we compare organized religion with this concept?
What I've found, and I'm not a religious scholar, but I would say in my cursory review of all this stuff, is that the religions seem to all acknowledge the paranormal, and that many of the prophets that religions point to, those were people that had access to some other dimension. Maybe they had an awakening, maybe they had a UFO encounter, maybe it was a near-death experience, and they came back and had a description of reality that has similar features. There might be differences in the rituals and the practices that they describe, but they'll say things like, they'll talk about interconnectivity, the idea of the universal consciousness or intelligence, which some might call God. And that's how I see it, is that a lot of the religions are based on extraordinary experiences and trying to bring those into words. Now, that's also one of the big challenges here, is that especially in the near-death experience state, but many of them, others as well, is that people come back and say, look, I can't use words to describe what happened to me. The term is ineffability, meaning the human language is inadequate to describe what happens. So we're left with an approximation, and those of us who hadn't had the experience, it's hard to relate.
And therefore, it's an approximation. We have different versions of it.
Exactly. And that leads to issues also with the UFO phenomenon, or let's say contact with non-human intelligences, because people might say, well, I encountered a demon. Another person might say, I encountered a being of light. They might just use different terms to describe something very similar in reality. And then people hear those words and then bring their own spin to it. And then over time, it's easy to imagine how things could be distorted.
There are some religions that regard UFO encounters as encounters with demons.
Yeah, I have heard that. I can understand where that comes from, having looked at this, because it seems that the beings, at least some of them, I mean, who are they? Like, it's they with a capital T. I think it's probably many species and many different types of beings who might have different agendas and different traits. But it seems that some of them have an ability to shapeshift or to alter consciousness. And the topic of screen memories, where they can implant a memory so that you don't remember what actually happened. These are things that come up all the time, and they were studied even by John Mack, the former head of psychiatry at Harvard, Pulitzer Prize winner. He said the aliens appear to be consummate shapeshifters, and that makes it really difficult to know what's going on.
Well, that's the viewpoint that I carry through when it comes to abductions, that very much of the information conveyed by these other beings is apt to be there with a particular purpose. It's not necessarily accurate. So if the gray alien says, I'm from Zeta Reticuli, a binary star system, and doesn't seem to have any planets, but whatever, I'm from Zeta Reticuli, or I'm from Sirius, or whatever, don't believe them. They're just saying that for advancing their agenda, or for your benefit.
It's very possible. And it's hard to know what the agenda is of each being. And I would say within a species, just like with humans, we could have some people that who are saintly and other people who are murderers. There can be a variety within the species of beings that are encountered. So what they do in some cases might be benevolent and for the person's benefit, and other times maybe it's not.
Well, it also sounds like the universal consciousness only has so much control over each of these individual whirlpools. Because some are good, some are bad, some are in between. Most are in between, I would suppose. So that expresses a more complicated view of things.
Yes, it's very complicated. The way I look at it is, if we consider consciousness to be like the sun that's always shining, there can be clouds that get in the way of the rays. So the rays are always shining. And to me, that's like the universal benevolence. The universal consciousness, in my view, based on people's experiences, is benevolent. That's my hypothesis. But there can be obstructions to that benevolence. And that's the world that we seem to inhabit, where there is dark, light. It's like the yin-yang symbol, where the dark and the light are intertwined. How that relates to the universal consciousness, it is complex. Like, what? How are the clouds there? What are they made out of? How is it that we can become disconnected with the universal consciousness if we are part of it at the same time?
Mark, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. The Mega Millions jackpot soaring to $785 million after no one matched all six numbers in Friday's drawing.
Tuesday's Mega Millions prize is getting close to the $1 billion mark after nobody correctly picked all six numbers in Friday night's drawing. The jackpot will be the fourth largest in the game's history at $785 million. Lottery officials say the cash option is less than half that at $395 million. I'm Jeremy Scott.
At least two New York City police officers, one a rookie who was working his first day on the job, were stabbed by a man with a machete just near the party in Times Square. Both officers expected to recover. The suspect identified as 19-year-old Trevor Bickford of Maine. He was shot in the shoulder by police. Extreme weather overtaking the U.S. The National Weather Service said between 3 and 4 inches of rain fell in the San Francisco area alone in just the last day, causing flash flooding and closing major roadways. Corey Myers, USA News.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Are you familiar with the name John Keel?
Yes.
Okay, because he talked about ultra-terrestrials, a universal something or other, and he said it's insane, which is why things are so inconsistent and so weird.
I think it's all plausible. I would say I'm open to that because that we hear such a diverse range of reports from people in terms of the beings they encounter, the types of experiences they have. I mean, there are many commonalities, but it is so beyond what people ordinarily experience in daily living. And the fact that this has been happening, also there's a historical component to this where people throughout history have described encounters with different beings. There's cave art from a long time ago. Something does seem to be going on that's mysterious.
Tim.
I'm thinking, Gene.
It sounds like the joke with Jack Benny, if you remember him.
Yeah, well, that's
comedian.
Yeah,
you know the one I'm talking about, where he did this in some form on TV and on radio. And, of course, his character, his shtick was that he was very cheap. Fortunately, he was also Jewish, and that kind of had a stereotype there. But, you know, we always took it with no seriousness. So he is confronted by a robber who says to him, "Your money or your life." And then there's silence. "Your money or your life." And Benny says, "I'm thinking about it."
Okay, Jay, I've got it formulated in my head. You're talking about the things that could cloud that eternal sunshine of cosmic consciousness. And our physical brains, our physical bodies, more than likely act as like a filtering system to this. Each living thing or has their own version of it, it makes me think. Because it's like I said earlier that, you know, our brains basically evolved to prevent us from getting eaten and to reproduce. If we didn't have this filtering, we'd probably go insane seeing all the things that are actually around us at all times, you know, the timelessness of reality, the other intelligences that live alongside of us. I mean, heck, just the things that may be around us that are just outside of the visible light spectrum that we can physically see. So I could see your physical body as being a cloudiness, so to speak.
That seems to be the case. And you're reminding me of some of the awakening experiences that I studied, where people would use that kind of language that you're talking about, where their perception was like too much to handle for this physical body. And maybe that's part of what's going on. Another theory that I've come across, and this is some wild and crazy speculation, but there are people who think that maybe the human body has been genetically modified. For example, Paul Wallace, who was an Australian archdeacon, a traditional Christian, started to look at ancient texts from the Bible to the Sumerian tablets to the Mesoamerican Popol Vuh. And he thinks that when combining all the stories together from around the world, it might be possible that there are beings who turn down our brain's default settings, for example. So there's just lots of questions.
There are defects in our programming.
And some would say the defects are intentional. And even from a cosmic perspective, you could make that argument that they're intentional, because if we perceived everything, we wouldn't have the same learning experience and it would be too much. From a darker angle, which I do hear some people speculate, is that humans are being held down so that they are not expressing their fullness.
Well, that would be fun if it was. I mean, right now, when you look at the world, you wonder what the overall game plan is, because it's crazy. It is totally insane to even describe what's happening amongst people in the same country, people in different countries. There's no logic to it. It doesn't seem there is.
It seems like it's beyond comprehension. So where I often come back to this, on this stuff, especially after studying awakening journeys, is that the best we can do is to work on ourselves, do the best we can in our individual lives, and work on the evolution of the individual soul, if you want to use that terminology. Because what many people say is that because consciousness continues after the body dies in a non-physical manner, we're not going to take material stuff that we have in this world with us, but we can take with us the way in which we evolved, regardless of what's happening in the world around us.
And the question also is there an afterlife? Do you go someplace or go to where it appears you've gone someplace and you undergo whatever you're going to undergo, and then for whatever reason you come back here? Is that the next day, the next year, the next century? How's it all work out?
This stuff is really hard to study, because the near-death experience is near death. The person didn't actually die. They decided to come back to their body, or they were told by being of light or some spiritual being that they allegedly encountered that they had to go back. There was more they had to do in this life. So we're limited from the near-death experience research if we, in fact, do think that they're telling us something about the beginning process of dying. But the other research that we can look at is people who channel information, people who are psychic mediums who claim that they can communicate with deceased beings or beings in other dimensions. The problem there, however, is how can we validate the information that's coming through? Or even remote viewers, I guess, could do something like that. I don't know how we could validate it. I mean, we could try to triangulate and say there are lots of channelers and psychics who say similar things about the afterlife, but that doesn't tell us that it's necessarily true, because we don't know the source of the information.
Also, they might do that because of the belief. We have a culture of the afterlife being thus and so. So when someone perceives something that might be connected, they're going to see it in those terms.
That's a very important point, that there's a bias that can imbue some of the stuff. And what people would say, like John Mack, the Harvard psychiatrist, said this, and near-death experience researchers say this, is that children who have these reports, those are powerful cases because they don't have the same cultural bias typically. And what they come back with often aligns with what many adults have said.
I often think children also are born with certain abilities that they never exploit because we train them, we condition them to be parts of society that doesn't accept those things.
That seems to be the case. We're not trained in spiritual phenomena, at least in mainstream America, let's say. That's not part of the traditional training. We're trained to learn what is needed to thrive in this world. So there are probably abilities that are underutilized.
We see them, I think, in our pets. They become parts of the family and sense when things are wrong, sense when things are going on, even though objectively they're only capable of a small number of commands. Like a dog, I think, 150 to 250 words. Yet when I was in the hospital with an operation on my leg for a leg aneurysm, he totally retreated in the house. And as I recovered from the surgery, he recovered from what he was suffering from. His diet returned to normal. For a week or two, he was limping, actually limping. And, of course, I was wearing something called a wound vac, which is part of your recovery process. Very poorly designed one, but we don't want to go into that. The point being here is that he knew what was going on, and when I was not using the wound vac anymore and getting around fairly normally, he no longer had a problem with limping, and when we examined him, the vet said, there's nothing wrong with him. He's in perfect health. But as I said, as I was in the hospital, as I was recovering, and I always thought he was closer to my wife than to me, he was kind of mimicking the symptoms in one way or another. Really, really mysterious. Powers and abilities far beyond those of humans, aren't they? We have Mark and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen.
And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Mark Gober, you heard my dog story, which I'm sure is very, very normal. What do you have to say about it?
Two things come to mind. In my first book, An End to Upside Down Thinking, I have a whole chapter on psychic abilities in animals. And Dr. Rupert Sheldrake is probably the foremost researcher in this area. He's a former Cambridge biochemist, and he has studied pets who know when their owners are coming home. And the famous study he did was with dogs, where he'd send the owner far away, miles away from home at a randomly selected time, not in her typical car. Basically controlled for all the variables that a skeptic would say, well, this is how the dog knew it. And statistically speaking, the dog went to the window when the owner was coming home more often than not. And in fact, what some of the – because Rupert Sheldrake has videos that show how they did the study, and I believe they're available on YouTube still. You can see that when the dog owner is told by the researcher, okay, it's time for you to get into the taxi to go home – when that intention was there, then the dog goes to the window as if it's waiting for the owner to come home. So there is some kind of a connection there between the pet and the pet owner. I'm also reminded of the work of Clive Baxter, who used to do lie detection for the CIA, and he conducted studies, which I'm not sure if they've been replicated since, but still very interesting, where he would hook up his plant to a lie detector to see if it would react to anything. And initially nothing happened, but then he was about to burn one of the leaves and was actually going to do it, like he really intended to do it. And then there was a huge spike in the lie detector. Then he ran a bunch of other studies. One of his books is called Primary Perception, where he describes this. And if I remember correctly, even the cells within a body, so if you take saliva cells or something like that and put them in a petri dish, if the person is somewhere far away and has a strong emotional reaction, I believe there's a correlation in the cells in the petri dish. There's also a story he told in the book where he himself was far away from home and there was a surprise party. He was very surprised. He had his lie detector on the plant, and the plant showed an emotional correlation at the time that he was surprised far away. All of this is to say that there is something interconnected that might be going on.
And if we could only learn how to do that predictably.
And maybe that's our task as we evolve, is to really utilize all these abilities.
I want to look at the third book title here, An End to Upside Down Liberty, Turning Traditional Political Thinking on Its Head to Break Free from Enslavement. Now, we're in an area here where we have lots of difficulties with political thinking of one sort or another. Can you tell us more about where you're going with that?
Sure. This is a long discussion, and I try to tie it to the spiritual notion of the life review, which we talked about, where people relive their lives in the near-death experience state. And what Dr. Bruce Grayson from the University of Virginia says is that when people come back from this experience, they often say that this is natural law, the notion of the golden rule of treating others the way we'd like to be treated because we're interconnected. Like, that's the message that comes back. So what I try to do in that book is tie it to the structure, to the very basic structure of government, not just America, all over the world. The argument that I make is that the government, I'll warn you ahead of time, this is a big paradigm shift that took me a while to wrap my head around. But the way we do government around the world is that the government provides services to its citizens, like road servicing, courts, legal stuff, military, police. But it has different privileges relative to a typical service provider, like an attorney or any other service provider in society, a plumber. Often when a citizen engages with a non-government service provider, there's an explicit contract that lays out what the service provider is going to do, how you can terminate the relationship, what the responsibilities are, what the pricing is. And with government, it's much more of an implied consent. And so the argument that I make is that because the consent is implied, people can be forced to do things that they didn't explicitly consent to, which is a violation of the golden rule. So I propose a very futuristic, I don't think this is happening anytime soon, a form of governance that's much more in line with the spiritual principles from the life review.
Of course, with that kind of suggestion, the way that we look at modern politics, you know, people just automatically are going to jump all over that and just tear it apart. But, I mean, we've seen that throughout history, and any good way to govern needs to evolve.
Yeah, that's how I think about it. It's sort of like a North Star, to start with spiritual principles and see how we can be better aligned with it, knowing that we are in a very different system today all over the world. But ideas start somewhere, and that's how I look at it.
And then again, you'll have, like, you talk about spiritual principles, and there's always going to be various religious factors who would be like, well, spiritual principles and not our dogma, so it must be evil. So, you know, you got to go against really this almost ingrained belief that if it's outside of the normal, then it's just automatically evil.
Yeah, that's an important point, because what I'm using as spiritual principles is based on the science that we have today, where I can point to researchers who say that this is happening over and over again. But we probably live in a universe where there are different types of natural law and different types of laws that maybe we can't point to, and different people have different beliefs about all that.
So how do we turn traditional political thinking on its head?
Well, to me, it's about starting with these principles that we can try to triangulate, and think about envisioning a better society in the future that's much more in alignment with the notion of consent. And the term that I use in the book that others have used as well is called voluntarism, where interactions and exchanges are on an explicitly voluntary basis. So to me, it starts with the idea, especially if consciousness is fundamental, then if we have a shift in consciousness, we never know how that could manifest in the future. So to me, that's the ultimate solution, is a new consciousness.
Well, how do you do that with a Democrat or a Republican?
Right, because you have both sides that want to force their views on the other side. Well, we need big changes eventually, but I think it does start with people having different ideas. And one of the points I make in the book, which others have made as well, is that just like with science, we're ingrained with certain views about government and how the way society is structured from a very young age. So it's a matter to me of breaking out of a paradigm, or at least being open to the fact that we're in a paradigm and that there are other possibilities that are out there. And that's one of the main reasons I do interviews like this and write books, is that, like, you never know what the first domino is going to be for someone when you plant seeds. And how it works beyond that, Gene, I really don't know. This is so complex in a multidimensional universe with a planet that's complex. But like I said before, I think each of us just can do the best we can individually.
Well, there's a perception here, for example, that children who go to school are being brainwashed to a particular point of view. And then you got a new group of politicians. They ban the old books and say, now we're going to brainwash our students to this belief. I mean, they told me when I was a kid that about George Washington chopping down the cherry tree, and it was a metaphor about being honest. Of course, it had nothing to do with the facts. But a lot of our images that we carry through our culture is not true. Thanksgiving was not at its heart what we thought it would be. Christ was not born on December 25th. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. That we ideas are implanted, whether intentionally or not. When we learn things at a young age, that's going to carry through, and we're going to have certain associations with things. So one of the arguments that that I've heard, especially around the downsides of government as it is now, is that the government gets to set the curriculum, especially in public schools. So if that part of society had this more voluntary type of interaction, at least the parents would get to more explicitly select the information that their children are exposed to rather than the government setting the standard itself.
Yes, but each school system is run by a school board in a particular locality. And by putting the people you want on that board, they can set policy. It's not
right
happening from Washington or the state capital or even the local city or county. It's happening on the local level of people will participate there in setting policy.
That's very
as local as you can get. That's as local as you can get with schools. It's not like having a band of outside political agitators, as they do, coming in there to enforce something about critical race theory, which is a concept taught in graduate school to lawyers. It has nothing whatever to do with anything taught in K through 12 schools. Not at all. It's a political, cultural farce. But that's the thing. In other words, you want to have the local authorities controlling what the students in that area learn and keep out the politicians who want to brainwash people to a particular point of view. And I know that's an ongoing conflict. There you go with
yeah.
that. We've got Mark and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at GCNfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.